This is similar to the Pareto principle, better known as the 80-20 rule. The principle being that 80% of our success is derived from 20% of our efforts. In short, focus on the stuff that matters as it drives the results.
It's one small step for man.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon, not because they are easy, but because they are
hard. I have a dream.
You can't handle the truth.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super
you. Hey guys, thank you so much for listening. I hope everyone's hanging in there during quarantine. To help you out, here's what we're going to do. Got the new book out, The Focus Project. I'm going to give you snippets of it on the podcast for free. So essentially, we're giving you the Audible version of the book for free. We're going to do it on this podcast in the 10 to 20 minute segments. And I hope it helps you out. Or maybe it's a friend that's really struggling during these challenging times to focus on the big things. And so again, we moved the book forward. So many of you reached out to me, thank you so much, and said this book would really help you now. So we've moved it forward from the original launch date so we can get it in your hands sooner rather than later. So it is on sale. It's called The Focus Project. It's available on Amazon. But again, this is my way of saying thank you. We love you. God bless. I hope this helps you out with you listening. Let us know if this is helping you out. If you like this format, that we're going to give away the book for free in 10 to 20 minute segments on the podcast. Other than that, every Wednesday, you're still going to get the regular podcast, the Super You podcast. So I can't thank you enough for listening. And again, we love all our listeners. So I hope you're hanging in there. If you enjoy listening to this, then send a copy. Send a paperback copy via Prime to that friend. Tell them you're thinking about them, going, hey, you know, times are tough. I know we're isolated, but I'm really thinking about you. I thought you'd enjoy this book, or you can send them the Kindle version as well. Anyways, without further ado, I hope you enjoy listening to this episode of the Super You podcast. And today it's a little different. It's going to be a snippet from my new book, The Focus Project. My focus in January would be growth, growing our business. While it certainly wasn't the most important item on my focus project list, there were several reasons why choosing January made sense. Number one, to focus properly in the months ahead, I couldn't be worried about our business staying afloat. Number two was starting with something easily measured is informative. I can ask myself, is my new focus helping sales increase? And number three, lastly, I knew that focusing on growing sales would be difficult with a high potential for failure. As previously mentioned, I'd already tried focusing on sales and had failed miserably with my first four attempts. Yet, here I was, now spending 2 hours per day trying to focus on sales for an entire month, 31 straight days. Would this time be any different? Your particular growth can be about anything. But I recommend that your initial focus be centered on whatever you absolutely cannot allow to slip. Focusing first on sales gave me time to focus on other items in the months ahead. This month, my critical priority had to be on growing the business. I would constantly ask myself the simple question, does this have anything to do with sales? And if not, why am I doing it? A key question to help determine your critical priority is, if I get this one thing right, will everything else become doable? Or to put it in another context, there are 10 important milestones in order to achieve your goal, but if this particular milestone was done really, really well, would the 9 other items become irrelevant? For example, if you're a parent volunteering to raise money for your kid's school, you likely have 50 to 100 small fundraisers throughout the year, and you have one gigantic annual auction or gala. If the auction night is a booming success, all shortcomings of the other 50, 100 efforts disappear. However, the opposite isn't true. If the auction fails, no matter how successful the other 100 events, they can't possibly make up for the shortfall of the auction. This is similar to the Pareto principle, better known as the 80-20 rule. The principle being that 80% of our success is derived from 20% of our efforts. In short, focus on the stuff that matters as it drives the results. One way to ensure you are practicing the 80-20 rule is to do the following. Number one, make a list of the top five things that consume your time. Number two, circle the one that drives the most results. And then last, focus on spending more time doing the item you circled. For me, the top priority was clear: to get booked for more keynote and motivational performances to large audiences, to go from 25 annual stage performances to 70. This was my growth and my way to help empower others from the stage. The main source of our revenue is delivering entertaining and educational, i.e. edutainment, performances on stage for businesses, schools, governments, conferences, and others. In order to afford the luxury of embarking on this 12-month focus project, we first had to double the number of our performances. Having to focus on sales was ironic for me. It took me a long time to realize that a large part of my role in our organization is sales. I thought my job was to make the book, to make the podcast. But you see, whether we think it or not, we are all in sales. Whether trying to convince our spouse to fix a leaky faucet or attempting to ask our boss if we can work from home on Fridays, we are all in sales. Or perhaps you're a scientist trying to get additional funding for your research. Or someone trying to get a friend to attend church. The PTA volunteer trying to raise money for the school field trip is also selling. Or maybe you're trying to convince your dad to stop smoking. The old adage that we're all in sales is an old adage because it's true. And you know who's really good at sales? Kids. Your 4-year-old daughter Bella asks for cotton candy and you say no initially, and then proceed to say no 20 more times to her insistent prodding. Yet, guess what? 15 minutes later, after constant pleas and badgering, guess who's enjoying fluffy pink goodness? Good old Bella. Girl Scouts selling cookies are some of the world's greatest salespeople. As you embark on your own focus project, my advice is to tackle the area that will have the most impact first. If you don't, you'll find it nearly impossible to allocate the proper amount of focus to this project. Leaders always ensure that the most critical leg of their chair is always taken care of. Otherwise, you'll most certainly land on your ass. A serious hindrance to my personal growth and our growth as an organization was trying to focus on too many things at once. Army Ant. We were doing speaking deals, coaching, consulting, animation, videos, podcasts, newsletters, social media partnerships, serving as expert witnesses, charitable works. You get the point. In fact, we left every meeting with 3 to 5 more to-dos. We quickly learned and implemented the mantra that adding 3 new items meant removing 4 existing ones from the to-do list. This was game-changing. I began asking myself consistently, what's the one thing I must do well to make everything else either easier or unnecessary? I've learned various forms of this question from many people, most notably fellow Austinites Tim Ferriss and Jay Papasan. Jay dives deeper into this concept in his book, The One Thing, which is co-written with Gary Keller, a book which I highly recommend reading. When I asked myself this question, the obvious answer was speaking on stage. If I rocked the stage, whether it was live or virtual, it would open a world of avenues and opportunities for our business. Making your goals as specific as possible is key to achieving success. A study on accountability from the American Society of Training and Development calculated these statistics on the probability of completing a goal if you have an idea or a goal. So you get an idea for a goal, you've got a 10% chance to achieve it. Then you decide you will do it. It's just not an idea. You go, I'm going to do that. Now you have a 25% chance to achieve it. Then you decide when you're going to do it. Once you just determine when you're going to do it, now we go up to 50% chance that you'll complete your goal. Then step 4, if you commit to someone, you will do it. Now you've got a 65% chance to achieve your goal. Now it's crazy. You can go from 65 to 95%. You schedule accountability check-ins. Now you're at a 95% chance to achieve your goal. I was introduced to the power of specificity early in my career when I was part of a little startup called Yahoo. At the time, we could do no wrong at Yahoo. We were the darlings of Silicon Valley, of Wall Street, of the world. Looking at the long lines queuing up to get our Yahoo giveaways, that is swag, tchotchkes, during trade shows, my teammates used to jokingly say that if we put the Yahoo logo on a pile of purple poop, people would gladly line up to get a fresh scoop. We even had a purple cow in our lobby. Later, fellow Yahooligan Seth Godin titled his number one bestseller, Purple Cow. One particular meeting at Yahoo stands out in my mind to this day. It was a marketing research meeting conducted by Gartner. The research analyst and Gartner were shocked at the meteoric rise of the Yahoo brand. After only a few years, we were the sixth most recognized brand in the world. When survey takers described Yahoo, the majority of the respondents answered that we were a search engine. Most of us were elated to be the sixth most recognized brand in the world, and we boldly figured we would soon be number one. Yet, at the same time, many of us were deflated at being described as simply a search engine. Didn't people know we were much more than a search engine? Oh, we were arrogantly so much more. We were a web portal, damn it. We were your irreplaceable window to the world, sports, weather, email, news, finance, music, movies, search, video, fantasy sports, restaurants, online dating, all tailored specifically for you. Everything all in one place, on one page. A good search engine was just one of the many amazing things we provided on your personalized My Yahoo page. To help our search engine performance, we were using a new technology from a small company just down the road, founded by two Stanford PhD students who had an algorithm called PageRank. The students wanted to resume their studies and were willing to sell their proprietary algorithm for $1 million in 1998. Yahoo passed on this purchase. Yahoo instead bought Overture. Overture had discovered a way to charge people for clicks on search engine listings. Overture helped foster a new term called paid search clicks, which later would simply be called paid clicks, and later be called paid search. Before this, most search listings were simply organic listings, or free, from the major search engines, Yahoo, Ask Jeeves, AltaVista, Excite, Dogpile, etc. While we knew search was a key component of Yahoo, we were most excited about being all things to all people, daily adding new widgets to our portal, ensuring that everyone had the ability to customize their portals. Providing such customization would make Yahoo sticky and monopolize eyeballs, which could then be monetized. The two Stanford PhD students who had come up with PageRank got an inside view of Overture and began understanding how Yahoo was integrating the paid click model into advertising bundles sold to major companies such as General Motors, Pepsi, and Warner Brothers. These two students were fascinated by the concept and started testing items in foreign markets where the Yahoo Overture joint agreement wasn't in place. Around the same time, Yahoo had a changing of the guard when Terry Semel replaced CEO Tim Kugel. Semel looked at the technology powering our Yahoo search results and balked at PageRank's asking price of $5 billion. So now it's gone from $1 million to $5 billion. Yes, the offer had risen from $1 million to $5 billion in less than 4 years. Part of the reason Semel was hesitant to buy these students out related to our having been severely burned by a previous purchase of another startup. We'd acquired a company called Broadcast.com for $5.7 billion. The problem? We never properly integrated it. In fact, as our Yahoo executives were debating whether to purchase the search engine company with PageRank, we were in the process of shutting down Broadcast.com. A $5.7 billion loss is a tough hit to any company's bottom line. It was, however, a big win for the owner of Broadcast.com, Mark Cuban. As you might expect, Semel was hesitant to make the same mistake twice and decided to pass on buying the search technology with PageRank. The two students who started the company were disappointed. However, when they successfully took their company public, they were soon arguing over what type of beds to have on their custom Boeing 767 jet. Yes, arguing over bunk beds on their private jet. Sergey Brin wanted to have a California king, but co-founder Larry Page thought it was ridiculous to have such a large bed in the plane. In the end, the newly appointed CEO, Eric Schmidt, stepped in. Sergey, you can have whatever bed you want in your room. Larry, you can have whatever kind of bed you want in your bedroom. Let's move on. Schmidt told the pair, according to the Google court documents. So in terms of focus, consider that Yahoo could have purchased Larry and Sergey's Google for $1 million. But because of a focus on being everything versus being a search engine, they ended up being nothing. Where in your life are you trying to be everything when simply being one thing, the best possible search engine, would be your best move? Ask yourself, what's the one thing I must do well to make everything else either easier or unnecessary? One needs to remember that the word priority only became plural in the modern age. Before the 1900s, the word priorities didn't exist. That's all for today's free clip from the Audible version of my new book, The Focus Project. I hope you enjoyed listening to today's Super You podcast. If you did and want to get the book either for yourself or someone you know in your family that you haven't seen for in a while, it makes a great gift. It would mean the world to me if you got the book because I think it's going to help so many people that are wrestling with how to focus in these ever increasingly and changing times. Anyways, this is Equal Man reminding all of us, it's not what we take from the world, it is what we leave behind.
7
6
5
4
3
2
1
Super, 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 super,
super you.